Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 9. Text 40. Tri Bhuvanatma Bhavana Trivikrama Trinayana Triloka Mano Haranam Bhava Tavaiva Vibhutayo Dititja Danujadjaryas Cha Pitesham Upakrama Samayoyam Iti Swatma Mayaya Sura Naramrigo Mishrita Jalacharakriti bhir, yata parad tham, dandam dandadhara, adharta evam enam api, bhagavan jahi tvastram, uta yadi manyase. Tri bhuvana atma bhavana. I'll just read these myself, it's easier. O Lord, you are the shelter of the three worlds, because you are the supersoul of the three worlds. Tri Vikrama, O Lord, who assume the form of Vamana, your power and opulence are distributed throughout the three worlds. Tri Nayana, O maintainer and seer of the three worlds. Tri Loka Manohara Anubhava, O you who are perceived as the most beautiful within the three worlds. Tava, of you, Eva, certainly, Vibhutayaha, the expansions of energy, Ditija Danuja Adiyaha, the demoniac sons of Diti, and the Danavas, another type of Dina. Cha and Api also, the human beings. Tesham, of all of them. Upakrama Samayaha, the time of enterprise. Ayam, this, Iti, thus. Swaatma Mayaya, by your own energy. Sura nara mrigu mishrita jalachara akriti bhi, with different forms like those of the demigods, human beings, animals, mixtures, and aquatics. The incarnations Vamana, Lord Ramchandra, Krishna, Varaha, Hayagriv, Nrisingha, Matsya, and Kurma. Yata aparadham, according to their offenses. Dandam, punishment. Dandadhara, O supreme chastiser. Dadharta, you awarded. Evam, thus. Enam, this one. Vritrasur. Api, also, Bhagavan. O supreme personality of Godhead. Jahi, kill. Tvastram, the son of Tvasta. Uta, indeed. Yadimanyase, if you think it proper. Translation. O Lord, O personified three worlds, Father of the three worlds, O strength of the three worlds, in the form of the Vamana incarnation, O three-eyed form of Nrisingadev, O most beautiful person within the three worlds, everything and everyone, including human beings, and even the Daitya demons and the Danavas, is but an expansion of your energy. O supremely powerful one, you have always appeared in your forms as the various incarnations to punish the demons as soon as they become very powerful. You appear as Lord Vamandev, Lord Ram, and Lord Krishna. You appear sometimes as an animal like Lord Boar, sometimes a mixed incarnation like Lord Nrisingadev and Lord Hayagriva, and sometimes an aquatic like Lord Fish and Lord Tortoise. Assuming such various forms, you have always punished the demons and Danavas. We therefore pray that your lordship appear today as another incarnation, if you so desire, to kill the great demon Vritrasura. purport. There are two kinds of devotees, known as Sakama and Akama. Pure devotees are Akama, whereas devotees in the upper planetary systems, such as the demigods, are called Sakama, because they still want to enjoy material opulence. Because of their pious activities, the Sakama devotees are promoted to the higher planetary systems. But at heart, they still desire to lord it over the material resources. The Sakama devotees are sometimes disturbed by the demons and rakshasas. But the Lord is so kind that he always saves them by appearing as an incarnation. The Lord's incarnations are so powerful that Lord Vamandev covered the entire universe with two steps, and therefore had no place for his third step. The Lord is called Trivikrama because he showed his strength by delivering the entire universe with merely three steps. The difference between Sakama and Akama devotees is that when Sakama devotees, like the demigods, fall into difficulty, they approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for relief. Whereas Akama devotees, even in the greatest danger, never disturb the Lord for material benefits. Even if an Akama devotee is suffering, he thinks this is due to his past impious activities and agrees to suffer the consequences. He never disturbs the Lord. Sakama devotees immediately pray to the Lord as soon as they are in difficulty, but they are regarded as pious because they consider themselves fully dependent on the mercy of the Lord. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tate nukampam swasamikshamano punjana evatma kritam vipakam hridvagvapurbhir vidhan namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadhaya bhak. Even while suffering in the midst of difficulties, devotees simply offer their prayers and service more enthusiastically. In this way, they become firmly fixed in devotional service and eligible to return home back to Godhead without a doubt. Sakama devotees, of course, achieve from the Lord the results they desire from their prayers, but they do not immediately become fit to return to Godhead. It is to be noted herein that Lord Vishnu, in his various incarnations, is always the protector of his devotees. Srila Madhvacharya says, vividham bhava patratvat sarve vishnor vibhutaya. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. All the other incarnations proceed from Lord Vishnu. Om Ajnana Tumirandhasya Yananjana Shalakaya Shakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Pada Mayam Tathati Shapadantikam Mandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Shagajatam Shagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Lolita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karana Sindha Dina Bandha Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshari
Prishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vanchako Putarubhyascha Kripasindho Bhyevacha Patitanam Paramekyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Here the distinction is made between two kinds of devotees. This one. Sakama and Akama. As described in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvidha Pajante Mam Jana Sukritan Arjuna Arto Artarti Jigyasu Gyanicha Bhartashana. There are four kinds of men described as Sukritana, pious men, who begin devotional service to Krishna. Arto Artarti Jigyasu Gyani. The person in distress. The person, just like Gajendra, the elephant Gajendra was attacked in the water by a crocodile. He was enjoying in the water with his female elephants and having a good time. But then he was attacked on the leg by a crocodile, and even though he was very powerful, he was in the water, and the crocodile is a creature of the water, so he couldn't escape. So then he prayed to Lord Vishnu, please save me. And Lord Vishnu killed the crocodile and freed the elephant. So he's an example of Arta, a distressed creature who in distress approaches Krishna. He must have performed some devotional service in a previous lifetime. Therefore, he remembered the prayers of his previous life and prayed to the Lord in this life, please help me. So, Sukriti, he had some background of pious activity. Otherwise, if he were demonic, the demonic person's in distress, oh, there's no God, he's allowed my brother to be killed, he's allowed this to happen, he's allowed that to happen. How could there be a God? If there's a God, he's useless, da 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 da. Because of their asura bhava, demonic nature. When they're in distress, it's proof that there's no God. Because the function of God should be to make everything okay for them. But the pious persons, when they're in distress, they pray to God, please help me. Like Gajendra. Or Artati, those who are in need of money. The example is Dhruva Maharaj. He was after a kingdom. He wanted opulence greater than that of his brother, greater than that of his father, greater than that of his grandfather. It means greater than Brahma. He wanted more opulence. So where is such? To whom will you go for such wealth and opulence? His mother advised him that you go to the forest. If you go to the forest, that's where Lord Vishnu is. Actually, she didn't advise him to go. But she advised him that Lord Vishnu can help you, only Vishnu. Then the boy inquired, where is this Vishnu? Oh, sages, go find him in the forest. The boy at once went, let me go. So he was impelled, motivated by strong desire to gain wealth, a kingdom. So he approached Lord Vishnu. Similarly, there are those who are curious, just like the sages at Naimisharanya. They're curious about what is what. So they approached Lord Vishnu. And Gyani, a person looking for knowledge, he may also approach Lord Vishnu. These are beginners on the devotional path. The advanced devotee doesn't approach the Lord for money or for relief of distress or for satisfaction of curiosity, nor even for knowledge. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Ba Jagadishakam Mama Janmani Janmani Shure Bhavatad Bhaktir Vaitaki Toi. Nadanam, I don't want money. Najanam, I don't want followers. Nasundarim Kavitam, I don't want a very nice, sympathetic, beautiful, poetic wife. Then what do you want? Do you want mukti? No, I also don't want mukti. Janmani janmani shure bhavatad bhaktir ahaitaki tvahi. Life after life, I want to serve you without any motive, without any ulterior purpose. Ahaitaki, unmotivated, pure devotional service. This is the perfected platform. And the platform of material motivation is the neophyte platform. Of course, neophyte platform, neophyte devotee is also good. To be any kind of devotee, to approach Krishna for any reason is good. Kama sarvakamo va moksha kama udaradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushampana. Whether one is freed from desires or full of desires, sarvakama, or desires liberation, if he's intelligent, udaradhi, then with great concentration, great force, tivrena. Tivrena means the way the rays of the sun are powerful. Tivra, especially in India or in the summer in some hot place. Tivra, powerful rays. You're out in the sun for 10 minutes and it's hot. Tivrena. Tivrena bhakti yogena, serious devotional service. Whatever your reason, you want mukti, you want material benefits, you want nothing, no desire. If you're intelligent, tivrena bhakti yogena, yajeta purusham param, then worship Krishna. Purusham param, govindamadi purusham tamahang bhajana. So here the demigods are acting as less advanced devotees because they're praying to get something. When they're enjoying, that's a different story. Please help us. Artha, we're in distress. This is materially motivated. But even if one approaches Krishna with some material motivation, because he's approaching Krishna, he'll be purified. Because he's approaching Krishna, he'll be purified. This is the effect of Krishna consciousness or Krishna association. Hare Krishna. Apapavidham, asnaviram shuddham apapavidham, that Krishna is purifying. So when we approach Krishna, whatever our motive may be, we become purified. If you approach some demon, some rascal for satisfaction of your desires, then all you may get is the thing you wanted. But if you approach Krishna, or even if you approach some demigod, demigod can give the satisfaction of your desire. You want rain? Okay, here's rain. You want health? Okay, here's health. But they can't purify the heart. They can't purify the heart. But devotional service is so powerful that by the association of Krishna, one's heart will be purified. Karmani nirdahati kintu chubhakti bhakti. All the... Or what is that? Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavati seva. If one undertakes devotional service in the regular way, then all the unwanted things within the heart are cleansed away. This is also an unwanted thing, material desire. That I want this, I want that, oh Lord, please give me. This is also unwanted, because it's a contamination in pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is jnana karmajanavrita. No tinge of fruitive intentions, no tinge of mental speculation. So that's the real constitutional position of the living being, to be a pure devotee of Krishna. And anything that interferes, obstructs pure devotional service is anartha, an unwanted thing. Anartha pasamam shakshad bhakti yoga madhokshaja. But bhakti yoga can directly free one from anarthas. Therefore one is advised, under all circumstances, whatever your position is regarding your desires, just approach Krishna. All desires know to somehow begin. One is, like we were reading yesterday, the day before, that we don't expect that a person beginning devotional service will at once be on the platform of pure devotion. He may imitate pure devotion, but he can't actually have pure devotion, except under very special circumstances. If in a previous life he's had it where he's come in touch with the mercy of the pure devotee, he may very quickly come to a very high level. But generally we expect a person begins devotional service on the neophyte platform, on the platform of mixed motives. So he has to be purified by following the prescribed method under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. So that progress, more progress, and the unwanted things in the heart are cleansed away. And the thing that's wanted, which is there within the heart, is uncovered. Pure love for Krishna. This is the process. By the reformatory method, one becomes purified. One becomes purified. And when he becomes purified, then he can taste the real nectar of devotional service. The process is the same, Krishna consciousness. But in the neophyte stage, one is practicing. And in the advanced stage, one gets the full taste. Pratipadam purnamrita ashadam. Purnamrita means full nectar. Purna, complete, full nectar. Purnamrita ashadam. Ashadana means relishing, tasting. One tastes the full nectar. Pratipadam, at every step. When he's in the advanced stage. In the neophyte stage, he sometimes tastes that nectar, and sometimes he thinks the Rolling Stones are nectar. He wavers, he goes here and there. Sometimes he tastes, sometimes doesn't like the taste. Because he's a neophyte devotee. But when he becomes advanced, pratipadam purnamrita shadam, at every step he's tasting full nectar, full nectar. The Rupa Goswami was praying that I'm chanting Hare Krishna, but only with one tongue and two ears. What will I taste? If I had thousands of tongues, thousands of ears, then I could relish. That means he's fully absorbed in tasting and desiring, oh, it's so nice if I could go on tasting. This is Purnamrita Shadra. So that stage is to be desired. What is that? Narottam Das Thakur. Goranga Bolita Hebaish. Pulaka Shali. When will that stage come? When by chanting Hare Krishna, There'll be tears in the eyes, there'll be shivering in the body, standing of hairs on end. These are symptoms of ecstasy. Of course, he's not simply desiring the symptoms. He's desiring the substance. When will I reach that stage? What is that? Shuddha habayama. We forgot. Shuddha habayama. That when will that day come when my mind will be purified? Not simply when will the day come when I'll be expert at crying, I'll know how to roll on the ground and make a show. That there are other people who are doing. But a pure devotee is desiring when will that purity of mind be there? Shuddha. Then I'll be able to understand Vrindavan. Then I'll be able to understand Radha Krishna. That's the desire. Not even, I'll enjoy the symptoms, but when will my mind be purified? When will I be eager to understand the books of the Goswamis? When will I be fully engaged in devotional service with no other material, no material motive? That advanced stage is the perfected stage of Krishna consciousness. But we can't jump to that stage. That's not possible. But by following the regulative process, utsaha nischaya dharya tat tat karma pravartana sangha tyaga sato vrite shadvir bhaktir prasidhyate, by patience, by enthusiasm, by determination and confidence, by following all the rules and regulations, by giving up unwanted association and cultivating the association of advanced devotees, one becomes an advanced devotee. And avoiding the unwanted activities, Atyahara Prayashascha Prajalpa Niyamagraha Janasangascha Lolyamcha. These things destroy devotional service. Shadbir Bhaktir Vinashit Pranashiti. So, overeating, over collecting, over endeavor, yip yap, talking needlessly. Ignoring, neglecting the rules and regulations, or becoming a rules and regulations fanatic. Associating with materialistic people and being greedy. These ruin devotional service. Therefore, anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjana. What's favorable for devotional service, we should accept. And everything unfavorable, we should reject. Then we'll advance in Krishna consciousness and gradually attain the perfection of life. Hare Krishna. Some questions? Yes?
Are some relations described the demigods, or some of the demigods have been attracted to good devotional service?
They're attracted to it, but they don't do it. We're also attracted by pure devotional service. The trouble is we're also attracted to other things. The demigods are attracted to devotional service. They're also attracted to the demigoddesses. The usual subject matter of attraction. We want pure devotional service and we want sense gratification. So gradually we have to give up the taste. What is that? Vishaya chariya shairashe maji moke bolo harihari. The prayer is there. Give up sense gratification. Vishaya, sense enjoyment, chariya. Kick it out. and Shera Shema Jiya. Relish this nectar. Mukhe Bolo Harivani chant Hare Krishna. The attraction for Krishna is there in the neophyte devotee, but the opposite attraction is also there. So we have to free ourselves from that attraction, Bahirarthamaya, and cultivate this attraction. Attraction for serving Krishna. Okay. Yes?
Maharaj, you were explaining earlier how the process of Krishna consciousness, devotional service, is the only purifying process. This is, you know, sometimes these days, devotees take shot at other processes, like psychology, psychiatry, 12 steps, self development. Can they actually purify? What effect do they have?
What effect do psychology, psychiatry, self help, self improvement, self-actualization, self, they get you really involved in yourself. Or what you think yourself to be, the sum total of your physical and psychological being. Psychology may have some useful application and properly applied. But generally what we see floating around is dime store psychology. People go to the bookstore and they pick up the latest superficial claptrap, which is more or less a rehash of the same old thing, that the real you is really wonderful, and all you have to do is bring out that real you by acknowledging how valuable you really are. How by trusting your emotions, by valuing your emotions, by feeling good about all the garbage, all the wonderful things in your heart, by getting rid of all those repressions that are preventing you from being everything that you truly could be, by just realizing that if you just do it, whatever it may be, you'll feel so much better. You'll enjoy being where you are and being what you are and accepting what you are and accepting others as what they are and accepting and accepting and accepting. You will feel so good about yourself, about you. And you can be whatever it is that you really want to be. On and on and on. You can be whatever you think you can be. Whatever you want to be. You just have to do it. It's all bilge. And of course it's attractive bilge. People like to hear that they're really great and that they, it's just like the Mayavadis, that you're God, you just forgot that you're God. And as soon as you remember that you're God, won't that be nice? So it's more or less the same thing repackaged. They don't, the G word is not used, but you're still that you inside is really super ultra. And just a couple of little adjustments, especially from our patented process, which you can avail yourself at any one of our authorized, fully trained franchise establishments for 80 quid an hour or something. You can uncover the real godlike you. And won't that be wonderful? So that's not going to help us at all. We have to follow the teachings of Krishna. And these things are not in accordance with the teachings of Krishna. Krishna says, control the senses. Tasmat tvam indriyanyado niyamya bharatarshita. From the very beginning, control the mind, control the senses. Conquer jahi shatrum mahava. Conquer lusty desires. And in general, these psychological wizards are telling us, give in to your, what give in? Acknowledge, honor, respect your desires, for they are the true you. And so on and so on and so on. Just the opposite. Puna punas charvata charvanana. Chew it, and chew it, and chew it again. That's not going to help at all. And people go to psychologists and psychiatrists and they become more messed up. In fact, there's some statistic about it, but a large proportion of people become psychologists and because they're so screwed up inside and they want to fix themselves up first. So they take some wonderful process that makes them feel good about themselves. And then they teach it to others for however many dollars they charge for their professional fees. Not good. Nasasidhim avapnoti masukam na parangitim. It doesn't lead to perfection. It doesn't lead to happiness. Nasasidhim avapnoti. And it certainly doesn't lead back to God. These people are not enlightened souls. There's a big one, very best-selling author, Yale University, many big books, popular books. And he begins one of his books. It's a, what is it, a guide to spiritual development, something, I forget what they call it, what he calls it, what his subtitle was. Anyway, he begins in his introduction, he says that every author has his own assumptions, and I think that it's right for the author to tell you from the outset what his assumptions are. So I'm going to tell you mine. And the first assumption was, I forget the second, but the first one is that there's no difference between the soul and the mind. And therefore, no difference between psychological development and spiritual development. They are one and the same. So from Bhagavad Gita we understand that this gentleman is in ignorance. Because he's identifying the subtle material body with the transcendental spiritual soul. Because he's trained in the science, if it's a science, of psychology, science of mind and all of that. He wants to bring the soul within his area of competency. There's some example in science, looking for the keys. You lose your keys and you look for them under the streetlight. Because that's the only place you can see, so it's the best place to look for the keys. So he looks. He knows something about the material mind, so he's looking for spiritual development within the realm of the material mind. And we understand from Paramasamhita that you can travel at mental speed for millions of years and not even get near the tip of the toe of Krishna. So it's a waste of time. Spiritual development. You haven't gotten to the first point of spiritual understanding, that I'm not this body. You're still caught in your subtle body thinking into yourself and advising others about spiritual development. Cheating propensity. Tendency to make mistakes, in this case a very big one, and tendency to cheat. Although I'm making mistakes, although I'm in ignorance, I'm becoming a guru, psychological guru for others. So this sort of stuff doesn't lead to happiness, doesn't lead to spiritual realization. It leads to confusion. It leads to usually it leads to bad, frankly. Usually one reads for spiritual development and self-actualization, so on, and he winds up having sex. That's bottom line. Which is just wonderful, of course, as far as the authors of your self-help. You know, now it's like bingo, you've understood. So that's not our goal. We don't want to go to bed, we want to go back to Godhead.
Just one point, you were saying at the beginning of your answers that there may be some cases where it could be applied.
Yeah, when a professional person with a proper understanding of his limitations, with a lot of skill and respect for the person he's working with, uses reliable techniques to accomplish limited purposes, it can be useful. just like medicine. Medicine is not going to bring you back to Godhead. It's not that unless you take medicine, you can't understand the science of devotional service or render service. How can you serve Krishna if you've got a boo-boo? But it may be useful for accomplishing some limited objective. However imperfect the medical science is, it'll do something for you. So for some limited purpose, some psychological intervention may sometimes be helpful. For some practical business. But it's a swamp out there in psychology land. They have so many different theories, so many different schools, so many different modalities, so many different models, so many different theories. And you may or may not wind up getting helped. You'll wind up poorer, that's for certain. But whether you'll get anything practical done is open to question. And just by chanting Hare Krishna, you're definitely going forward. So that opens the door, a little tiny crack for those who have some faith in psychology or psychiatry. But as a general, feel good, fix it, make me feel good about myself, wipe out all the problems that have been with me since my childhood, you know, give me a break. And your problems from childhood, what about the problems from your previous life and the one from that, before that, and before that, and before that? The psychologists don't do anything about that. Now, for that, you have to go to Scientology. They'll help you. You can become a clear, mindless, clear. But they have no knowledge of Krishna. Even if they become clear, as soon as they're clear, they become dirty again. If they ever become clear. Because they have no knowledge of Krishna. So even if they were somehow, against all odds, to become actually clear, they'd become dirty in the next minute. And do they become clear by following, you know, the science fiction writer's little electronic doodad operating feet and ultra-expensive discover the real you, the glorious you, the wonderful you method? We have our doubts. Devotees should expose all this garbage, really. It's so bad. We should just give out the stuff, tell what Krishna has said, and put the rest of this stuff where it belongs, relegated to the dustbin. Okay. There's a course someplace. I gave a course, Psychology 108.
Yeah,
their tapes are available someplace. Has all sorts of good topics. How to feel bad about yourself. Saying no to your inner child. And so on. I forget where they're available. They're available someplace. Some other questions?
Maharaj, yeah. Are the Sakama devotees still under the laws of karma? Because
are they? Are what?
Are they still under the laws of karma?
Psychologists?
No, the Sakama.
Sakama? Yes? The psychologist devotees are also Sakama. In fact, they're very much Sakama. Usually their interest is Kama. And so they're Sakama devotees. Anyway, Sakama devotees, those who have some material desires. Because of the material desires, they're definitely still affected by the laws of karma, by the modes of material nature, in proportion to their material attachments. when they become pure devotees, then they're fully freed from karma. Okay?
How does Krishna, would we understand why I heard that when one approaches Krishna to perform devotional service, then Krishna takes charge of the karma and then manages it so you get purified of your own notice?
Of course, karma is always for purifying us of our anartas. The laws of nature are meant for our purification, and Krishna is ultimately in charge. But Krishna says, yayatamam prapajante tamstataya vajamyaham. To the extent that you surrender to me, I take charge of you. So it's not that you do a little pittance of devotional service, and Krishna wipes out all your karma, takes charge of your life, purifies you of all contamination, knocks away all the impediments. No. You have to, in proportion to your dedication, even if you do a little, svalpamapyasya dharmasya chayate mahatobhaya, it can save you from the greatest danger. So that may happen. But it's not that we can expect to attain perfection by a little token devotional service. I put my 20 bucks in the collection basket, and now Krishna has taken charge of my life, and I'll go back to Godhead. And I can commit sins on the strength of chanting too, because now I'm a devotee and Krishna has taken charge of my life. That's one of the aparats. Like, I can do this now because I'm chanting Hare Krishna, and I'm a devotee, and Krishna understands that I'm not perfect, and Krishna will accept me as I am, and Krishna will understand my weaknesses and purify me. So it's okay for me to go on doing this thing that I'm doing. Usually illicit sex and intoxication, so it's okay because Krishna will understand. As long as I'm sincerely attached to him by chanting Hare Krishna. So that's called committing namnad balad yasya hi papabhuti, committing sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name. Means using Krishna as a tool for your sense gratification. It's a good religion because I can have my cake and eat it too. That kind of cheating, Krishna's not stupid. It's one of his six opulences. He understands everything. Vedahamas and Avitam. So you can't cheat Krishna. But if you begin the process, all right, I may be Sakama, but let me still do some devotional service for Krishna. Then Krishna may help you. That, all right, you're doing something, now do some more, now do some more, now do some more. Till you come to the point where you think that this kama that I was after is just garbage. It's an impediment. It's holding me back. I don't want it. That's Dhruva Maharaj at the end. He got the opportunity. Take your kingdom, take everything. No, I don't want that. I just want to serve you. So that's the advantage, that if we approach Krishna, even for satisfaction of our material desires, one day we'll come to the point, pure devotional service. But the beginning point and the end point are not the same. Prabhupada compared them to the green mango and the ripe mango. They're both mango. But in the mature stage, you get the full taste. In the green stage, you don't get that same taste at all. But green mango, properly taken care of, it becomes a mature ripe mango. Then you can manage. Okay, Hare Krishna, go to church.